everyone, I'm Carlene Jackson, joined by Zoe England. Thanks for listening to Marketing Decanted for SMEs, the podcast from Cloud9 Insight, created to be an essential guide to small business marketing. On today's episode, we're talking to Stephen Thompson. He's the founder of Big Daddy Digital, which he launched in 2013 with zero investment, a vision, and a mobile phone. Stephen truly believes that everyone has what he calls a heart brand. It's a thing you could see and feel if only you could hold that person's heart and soul in your hands. He kicks off our series with a discussion around the simple ways businesses can use social media and the importance of building a brand. Thanks for joining. Enjoy the episode.
Hi, Stephen. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. So thanks so much for joining us on this podcast episode. Obviously, we know you really well. We've been working together with some of the work that you've been doing to help our leadership team around personal brand and developing their own thought leadership using social. And we view you as being the guru when it comes to social media. So perhaps you'd like to tell us a bit more about what you do from your perspective.
Firstly, I need to thank you for that. Awesome intro. I'll take guru today. Absolutely. do you know what? It's been really lovely working with you guys because you've been very open to embracing new things, new ideas and opportunities. For me, I think everybody in the entire world should have a personal brand. And if they don't realize this, then they've actually already got one. It's what we would call their reputation. I identified this about 9 years ago when I started Big Daddy. Big Daddy then was Big Daddy PR rather than what it is now, Big Daddy Digital, because I was going to launch a PR agency and that was a great thing to do. And I was taking all my transferable skills from the police. But what actually happened was I was helping people in business build a brand through using social media because I wanted a way to have a conversation with them because I was working at Radio Norwich then after I'd left the police. And I needed a way to sell radio, ultimately. I'm a good salesman. I just don't like being called a salesman. So I wanted another way to sell my stuff to people. And I used social media because I realized that the whole radio team were not using social very well at all. So I built a brand on Twitter and LinkedIn, literally by having conversations on Twitter, then connecting with the business owner over on LinkedIn, and then bringing them back to these conversations on Twitter, show them the great work I was doing with their team, because usually Twitter's run by the marketing department, connect with the CEO over on LinkedIn. And then I would get invited in for a tea or a coffee so they could pick my brains on what I was doing, because I was building a bigger profile than the breakfast presenter. I went in, gave some free advice. Then before I knew it, I was actually cementing sort of the foundations for Big Daddy PR then, because they were saying, well, can you do this for us? Because it's a lot of work. It looks like a lot of work. And I was working that a typical, what you hear Gary Vee talk about, that American side hustle from sort of like 6 p.m.
Who's Gary Vee?
So Gary Vee is Gary Vaynerchuk. He is a very, very well-known entrepreneur over in the States. He was an immigrant from Belarus. And, you know, you just have to type in Gary Vee into anything and you will find him.
Okay.
So where was I? I was taking my lead from these businesses saying, can you show us what you're doing? So yeah, of course I can. I built sort of my own personal brand, not realizing that's what it was. 8 months later, I left Radio Norwich having built a small consultancy, if you like, off the back of this American Gary Vee type side hustle. I didn't know who Gary Vee was then. I didn't know what a side hustle was. I just thought it was, you know, head down, bum up, work hard. I've got some time between when I finish my day job to when I can go to bed and still function the following day. What can I do in there? Because I was working for a man who didn't appreciate me. And he told me to stop using social media because you couldn't measure the return on investment. But I said, well, surely the fact that I've hit every single sales target you've given me since I've been here, since day one, and they've all risen incrementally, surely I've hit those. That is your return on investment. And the fact that I'm sat here in November, as it was then, I'd already forward sold December, January, February, and was halfway through March, at which point he spit his dummy out of the whatever it was, and then and went storming out the room. So I sat down and in that November and evaluated all of my transferable skills and said, how can I do something that doesn't mean I have to work for this man anymore? And that's where Big Daddy was born.
So that's a great story. And using the term side hustle, perhaps for those that don't know what a side hustle is in this context, can you give us more info?
Yeah, I mean, it's literally working in the hours that you're not in work.
Okay.
It's working on your passion project, you know, your purpose project. For me, I wanted to make my diary my own so I could spend more time with my family. Fast forward 8-9 years now, that's even more important to me than it was back then, because my life has changed. My partner, she had to take early retirement from the ambulance service due to ill health. Mm-hmm. She's now registered disabled. Yesterday, we got the official diagnosis. She's got Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with bowel disease. So I need my diary to be flexible. And it's, you know, and I didn't know that back then, but now it's even more important. And I get to do the school run with my little one every single morning. I get to pause at 2:30, pick her up, bring her home. Press the start button again, and I can work. And I work from home. I've done it for nearly 9 years.
So I really appreciate your honesty there around your situation, Stephen. And I guess what you've done is taken some control around your time, but also it's finding your purpose. And that brings me on really to how we originally met, which was obviously through the Bob School. Do you want to tell us a bit more about what you've been doing with them?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been working with Lindsay now. I mean, I've learned. Go back a bit further. I've been managing Lindsay's personal brand online now for just over 12 months. And Lindsay Boyd's the founder. I met Lindsay on a previous business training program where I walked into the room, and we'd connected about 6 months prior to that online, because someone had just said, you know, if you're into brand and social, you should be connected with Lindsay Boyd. So I connected with Lindsay. And then about 6 months later, I walk into a room at a business program, and she was the coach. And I knew she was going to be there. But the one time you want to go there and you want to make an impression, they moved the training venue to the other side of London. So I'm trying to get through London. It was like Bridget Jones. And I rush into this big this room at the Holiday Inn. And you can imagine it was like a banqueting suite. So all these big round tables, and you know, you've got people in this room from, you know, Richard Branson's accountant was sat next to me. And you know, we've got people from brand and business and all over the place. And I go in with my satchel on my shoulder, and I walk in and I turn and I clout somebody across the head, and I see that my table are all at the front, the accountability group that I'm with are at the front. And as I walk in, I'm trying to sneak in so I don't get spotted. And Lindsay's in mid-flow of conversation, and she just stops and says, "And if you want anyone to run your social media, that's your man there." And she points at me. And I was like, wow, okay, hang on. We've been chatting via Instagram for a bit. And off the back of that, I got 7 new clients out of the room, and it changed my entire business. Amazing. So a big nod to Lindsay. But I said to Lindsay that day, I said, "I'd love to run your personal brand." She goes, "And I would love you to as well, but we've got someone in-house, but let's keep in touch." And then 4 years round, they put a post out on Instagram saying, "We're hiring." So I then reached out to Lindsay and said, "Is there anything I can help you with?" She said, "Oh, actually, the lady who looks after my social is leaving. Do you fancy a conversation about it?" So she invited me down to an alumni event 2 weeks later. And we left that event that I was, our agency was running her personal brand. And we're going into our second year.
That's great. Great story. Another great story. A good storyteller, which is what is all key with brand. So, as you've taught us. So with working with the Bob School, obviously they're all about working with small, medium-sized businesses, about finding your purpose and about guiding business owners through this current time and through the next sort of 18 months. So I guess that brings us on to yourself and the importance of social media during this time. So do you want to start us off by telling us about what your view is around why businesses should be prioritizing social media?
I think the first few minutes of our conversation on here today is key. Look at the stories that I've shared with you. They're all real, and you can put them through your business and pull people towards you. You know, everything I've shared with you, somebody on your podcast will resonate with, whether it be the boss that they had that they couldn't get on with, whether it be being impacted by somebody in a room, whether it be family challenges, whether it be, you know, needing more time in their business. If you can storytell how you can solve people's problems in a pull rather than push way, you know, there's at no point am I here trying to sell my business. business or my service or what we do, but you know already, or your listeners will know already, that we run a social media agency, that we work with some high profile clients, we work with small and medium sized businesses, and we do it through storytelling online. And all we're doing is having a conversation. If you can get that into your content, and that's why I think podcasts are super important, because there's so much you can take from a podcast. You can make a blog from this now. You can make 20, 50 tweets from it. You can make them into Facebook posts. You can then do what I've taught you guys to do, which we'll call a post-meeting review. And I'll do it straight after this. I will come off, I will hold my phone in my hand, and I will then say, I've just been on this podcast and I've shared X, Y, and Z. And what impact would it make on your business and your brand if you now did the same? Would you reach more people? Would you impact people? Would you make new connections? Would you be able to build a community that you could pull towards you, that at some point would either buy from you or lead you to a referral where someone will buy from you? So if we can just storytell and get over the fact that actually social media, although it's used for advertising, don't go into it with an advertising mindset, you will do very, very well.
And obviously now I'm under pressure to make sure that everyone that's listening sees me do a social post-meeting review after this. So thanks, Stephen.
You're welcome. We've still got the Facebook group running, so you can pop it in there and I'll have a look
okay,
for you.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
So I was going to say, clearly the social media training worked well with Zoe, because so she was new to using social media. In fact, one thing that gobsmacked me when we started working together, Steve and I thought that a lot of the work we would do would be to help people have a voice for the thought leadership, the things that they do day to day, to help bring that to sort of forward as part of the face of the business, and not just the content that the marketing team are alone or writing, but all of the sort of ideas that the team themselves have, and share that, and how we sort of solve business problems and give them a sort of a platform to share their voice. But one thing that amazed me is actually that how many people in the business aren't using LinkedIn, don't know how to use LinkedIn and other social media. So what do you think is important for SMEs to sort of do, not just for the company level, but at the sort of employee level?
I think for any business owner, they need to understand that they can't assume that everybody knows how to do it just because we've got access to it. My recent training course, people didn't know that the reason Twitter is called Twitter is because there's a bird as the logo and the tweets are what a bird, the noise a bird makes. People assume, we all assume that everybody knows, oh, social media, yeah, it's this. Actually, no, it's social media is a way to communicate. And I think if anybody is starting out or they want to introduce a personal brand, social media marketing, whatever phrase you want to use, they need to understand, have open and honest conversation. Say, what's your understanding of social media? And have it with your team members. You know, what social media are you using now? What platforms do you like? How do you like to communicate? Are you a blogger? Are you a vlogger? Chances are they won't even know what those terms are. So you have to really bring it back to basics. Do you like to write? Do you like to make videos? Do you like to make podcasts? Or go a step further back and say, okay, do you watch video? Do you listen to radio? Do you write letters? And then you find out how they like to make their content or consume their content. It might be simple, a simple thing as, I prefer handwritten letter. Great. So let's get you making some handwritten letters about the business. We'll take photographs. We'll put them online, or we'll provide you with a device. I've just bought one now where I can write my handwritten work onto a tablet, and then that will transcribe that into text. And then we can use that as a blog. It's finding out what works for the individual, because otherwise you'll get lots of resistance. And I think once you found that, then you allow them that level of creativity. And then you say, okay, we've got this. What do we do next? And you look at the opportunities. So from this podcast, like I've already said, you know, you could turn it into a video series. You could say, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take this, and yourself and Carlene and Zoe could sit together, camera on both of you, and you could chat through the key pieces of this and make it into a video. And then you could summarize an hour's podcast into 5 minutes in a nice video. But it's then you've got visuals for brand. You've also then got visuals. You can take screenshots and use those for images to promote the podcast. But it's understanding what the person you want to do stuff. So, i.e., it might be Zoe, for instance. It's what do you like to do and how do you do it? And leaning to that. And then once you've got the confidence up there, you can take them into other places.
Great advice.
You're welcome.
Once again, I'm feeling the pressure to be sharing this in my social profile later.
You'll be all over it. Tag me in everything.
I think that since we've all gone sort of through the pandemic and we're in lockdown and we're all working virtually, I think that we've definitely seen an uptake and an increase of people adopting video. I think more people are comfortable perhaps in front of their Teams or Zooms call. So that's possibly part of that as well. But I think there are so many different faces to social media. I think before this call, even you were on a live. Is that right? Tell us a little bit more about how do lives work and how can SMEs embrace those?
Yeah, so I mean, I run a live every Friday as it stands at the moment. We're just reviewing that. It's in the Tea with Steve community. So I run up a private Facebook group called Tea with Steve. And literally, that's part of my heritage. I am a guy from the Northwest, however, living in the South at the moment. But everything I do is around a cup of tea. My meetings around tea. Because I think if you can spend some time with somebody and enjoy a brew and the meeting goes well and it's a comfortable conversation, then there's a good chance you can do business together. For me, my business is very, very relaxed. I'm not into going into an office and pitching and putting up slide decks and this, that and the other. I'd rather see if I can get on with the people that we're going to do work with, because I know I do good work and I know the people in front of me will be doing good work, hence why I'm already having a conversation with them. But Tea with Steve, again, just dropping in a part of my brand there, the Tea with Steve community is all around literally teaching people how to build a personal brand. And in there, I do a live every Friday morning where I showcase people in the community to help them build their business, but also to help me hone my skills and build my brand. I think that everybody should do any piece of recording as if it is live, because life is live. We don't get any second chances, second takes. Whatever we say in a meeting is live. So if we're going to go onto camera, let's do it as if it's live, real, authentic, in the moment. Yes, we've pre-recorded. We've got the great opportunity to edit things out later on, but it's kind of not real. You know, I look at editing content around maybe taking some ums and ahs out because I want the content to flow, but actually there's nothing more than being so right now. You know, we're having this conversation live and in the moment, and I think live has a place. The only challenge is if people are not good on video, then they can fluff up a live. They may well get flustered about it. You know, there's many things gone wrong in my lives. I mean, this morning we had one, it should have gone out at 11 o'clock. The tech went horribly wrong. So I'd set up in my YouTube setup at the back of my office, and literally 4 feet away from moving the laptop and the camera, the Wi-Fi signal went. So I'm now back at my desk and we ran it from there. But we had some fun about it. We're like, yay, we're on live. But that's part of my brand and my personality. You know, and Amy, my guest, she was throwing her arms up in the air, saying, yay, we finally made it. But we overcame those challenges. But there's nothing to say you can't share that in a live video, because you would share it and have a conversation about it in real life. People are too hung up on that Instagram lifestyle. It's not real. It's not true. It's completely fake and manufactured. And I think the new Instagram, which is what is happening with people right now, is where people are making more of the real life stories behind what they do.
I love the fact that imperfection, with imperfection comes comedy. And by maybe blending out too much of those imperfections, we're losing some of those funnier, greater moments, the more memorable ones in life.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
So which are your most funny, memorable moments then when you're doing live?
Please don't say with us.
Do you know what? My most memorable moment isn't my funniest. It's probably my most scary, but that might be a better topic for your listeners. It was a live. I was doing a TED talk. I was doing my TEDx talk a few years ago, and it was done in a way that it didn't work for me because I was told it needed to be scripted. And I am, as you will have heard, I'm not scripted at all. But I had this plan and I rehearsed it and I was in the mirror and this, that and the other. And I went on stage and I froze twice. When I was on there, I openly said to the audience, well, they're not going to be able to edit that piece out, are they? And the whole place erupted and it added huge context to my talk, but they edited it out and therefore lost the entire context of my TED talk.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't even talk about my TED talk. You know, I think it's had about a few hundred views. I don't even share it, but that's not because it's not a good TED talk. It's a good TED talk. It didn't have that 30 seconds they took out was really, really important.
Oh.
Damn. So I tell the story of the TED talk and how, you know, my best performing video was actually the night the morning after the night before of my TED talk, I sat in my car and just made a video of actually how the whole process drained me, completely drained me. And then what happened was then we went on to partner with TED and we now run their social media.
They went on to be your best client.
So yeah, you know what? It turned out to be everything happens for a reason. You know, I'm very much a throwing it out there to the universe and dialing it in and seeing what happens. We get lessons for everything. But yeah, that wasn't my finest hour. But the thing was, it was streamed live onto YouTube. So whoever watched that got to see it. And then you weren't, because you're not allowed to record in the venue, but there's a few people that recorded it to Facebook Live in the venue sneakily. So I got to watch it after that. I much prefer that version.
Oh, you did a lot of work with us, Stephen, around, you could say, the technicalities. There's a lot of work that goes into doing, whether it's lives or video recordings, and that's sort of almost seamless for the person consuming that. And you did a lot of work with our team to help us with those technical tips, everything from sort of camera angles to quality of equipment. For an SME starting out in marketing who really wants to embrace the sort of more digital video and audio sort of side of social media, what would be your top tips to think about?
I would suggest that you start with what's in your pocket, which is your mobile phone. If you think about the quality of devices right now, if you wanted to do a podcast, you could plug your microphone in. You know, you plug a little lav mic, you can buy it off Amazon. You know, it costs you like £10. You could plug it in. You've got decent audio, and you could talk into your microphone on your phone, and you could record it in your audio voice recorder. If you want to make video, the only things you really have to consider are good light and good sound, and then you've got a good picture up from the mobile phone. You can use the front facing camera and try and test. There's no point going out and buying a DSLR or digital cameras, big webcams and ring lights and everything until you've tried. What I say to people is, you know, you take out your mobile phone, and we've done it with you guys. I've been doing it all this week. I do it every time when I speak to somebody. If you want to get onto video, take your mobile phone out and use it for 1 to 2 minutes a day as your daily diary. If anyone's as old as me, I'm in my 40s now, you'll remember Adrian Mole and his daily diary. That's what I think my mobile phone is. It's Adrian Mole's sort of digital diary. And it's just take it out, point it in your face and talk to it. Tell it how you feel. Because what you'll find is, you'll find it's a little bit weird. And that's what your first video is going to be like. So why not make it in private on your phone in your kitchen? Walk around the house and see how lighting changes. Because when you walk in from one room into another, the phone will start to adjust. See how you feel if you do walk and talks. I love a walk and talk, but I've got friends who literally fall over because it makes them feel sick. But you understand what you look like, what you sound like. You know, we all have a good side and a bad side, but that's all in our heads. We look and sound exactly the same on our mobile phones when we record it as when we're having conversations with people in real life. So as soon as you can get used to that, that'll make your whole video journey, content journey much, much easier. So my advice is take your phone out, point it in front of you, press record and talk to it for 1 to 2 minutes every day. Because what you'll find then is over a period of 30 days, you know, there's all this science and psychology around forming habits. What you'll do is you'll achieve a good standard of video recording on your mobile phone in under an hour. 30 wow. day, 2 minute, you're nailing it in an hour. And it's just habit, repetition. You know, it's the same if you play football. You know, you're never going to score that goal until you've kicked that ball 50 times. It's the same process.
It's just practice, isn't it? Yeah.
It is practice. It's simply that. And a lot of people, the internet right now is absolutely swarming with, you know, 9 tips to do this, 8 tips to do this, 5 ways to make £1 million. It's all quick wins. And everybody wants a quick win because they are fearful of what's happening right now. But actually, we need to employ patience and we need to employ practice.
I know one of the things that I really enjoyed for us as a team being able to do your program was about, for me, for example, working with our delivery director, Michelle, and every day she's working with clients at the leading edge of helping them with their digital transformation and their deployments of CRM. And I think she often might take it for granted. Oh yeah, doesn't everyone know, I don't know, the importance, for example, something like cleaning your data or how to sort of increase user adoption and all her sort of tips with clients. And so to be able to take the things that are front of mind for her and day to day and to record those into her phone and send that off to marketing that, as you pointed out to us, like 1 or 2 minutes of audio of your ideas is actually quite a big blog when somebody in the hands of a writer. So that for me is super exciting. I don't have to go out and employ a whole load more content writers. I just need people in the business to be sharing their content.
Absolutely. And that is something that we work through with everybody we work with. Say, look, if you've got a thought or an idea, just document it, because then you don't have to create content. You're documenting the process, documenting journeys. You might just be systems and processes. It might be a HR process. Or the great thing is, like we've worked on together, is what questions are you getting asked? Answer the questions in a video and give it to somebody who can make something from it. So it might be the marketing team, or actually you might be technical enough to say, you know what, I'm going to take that video, I'm going to get it transcribed, I'm going to put the video out on my LinkedIn. And when I get the transcription back, we use things like Temi, and they transcribe it for like 25 cents a minute. So it might be, you know, it might be a 2 minute video. It's going to cost you 50 cents. It'll be back in moments. And then you've got an article for your LinkedIn, and it saves you so much time.
So just on that then, Stephen, I have a question then, which I know is one I personally asked of you when we were working together with our sort of social planning. So all of these different platforms, you've made your first video, you've been brave. Where do you post? So do you post on every social platform? What's your kind of tips for, particularly if there's some SME business owners that are listening to this thinking, where do I start?
The first thing you need to look at is, where do your audience live? So if you go back to how we came to working together, you know, you were on LinkedIn. I'd met you through the Bob community. Mm-hmm. I sent you a message and said, how are you finding LinkedIn? And it wasn't a come and buy my stuff. It was how you finding LinkedIn. And then we had a conversation via direct message, and that's how we came to work together. I think you need to know where your audience are. And so many people don't actually know who their ideal client is or where their audience live. Once you work that out, and it's, you know, it's quite easy to do in the fact that, you know, if you're looking for small to medium sized businesses, either the owner of the company or people within the business, chances are they're going to have a LinkedIn account. Then you've got, okay, where else would they be on social media? Well, chances are someone will have told them it'll be a good idea to have a Twitter account. And everyone's got a Facebook page, so we should have those. And they're really the key platforms. Instagram's quite new. So if we're a younger business or we've got a visual product, then actually we're going to be on Instagram. Actually, if we're crafty, arty, or we do something in design, chances are we could well be on Pinterest as well. And that's just me being very broad and with my terminology. But, you know, most small to medium-sized businesses will be on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. They're a standard. They are the old favorites. So if you're making if you want to connect with those people, I would look at your content rather than the social platform. So what is the content that you can deliver, you can make very well? Argument's sake, you make a good video. Okay, then you make a good video. Where can you put that video? From a SEO perspective, you might want to house it on YouTube because Google owns YouTube. So if people will always go to Google over social platforms to find your business, because that's a search engine. They don't compute finding a business on social, but social helps you embed your footprint, if you like, on Google. So if you're making video content, it makes sense to put it onto YouTube because of the link there, and they will index it. Actually, businesses don't realize that Google indexes tweets as well, because it has a search function and facility. So if you type in my name and put social media into Google, you'll probably find my Twitter account before anything else, because that's where I built my business from over the longest period of time. So it's finding out where the audience live, finding out where they consume their content, and starting there.
Okay, great. That's good advice.
So if somebody's starting out and they've, say, for example, they might have a LinkedIn account, what would your top tips be for once they've identified who their target audience, how do they sort of build engagement with their target audience?
So first thing I do is have a look at the LinkedIn account and say, okay, well, what do my last half a dozen posts say about me? What does my profile picture say about me? What does my header image say about me? Because a lot of people on LinkedIn haven't even got a header image, and it's prime real estate to share something about what you do, whether that be, even if it's just the company logo and, you know, and their marketing strap line, or actually if they've gone a bit deeper, their purpose. But I would lead with something that, what is the value that you give to the person coming to your profile? Because what you'll find is most businesses will use it as notice boards, no drive. What's the word I'm looking for? There's a word I'm looking for. Because I don't use them. those big banner boards when you're driving down the road and you see them on the side of the road, people will use their social media headers as those. Just can't.
Banner board, isn't it?
Billboard.
Billboard, that's the one.
The Friday.
It is. So yeah, people will use their social headers, their header profiles as billboards. But actually, I would be telling people, what can you solve for them? What can you help them with rather than come and buy my new website at £99 or something like that? What can you do for them? In your profile picture, update that on a regular basis because it keeps it fresh and the social platforms actually notify people. I updated mine yesterday on Facebook and Twitter automatically opened up with, as soon as I'd loaded the picture, it said hashtag new profile pic. Would you like to tweet this? So it's a piece of content straight away. And I put, oh, why not? And I typed that in, oh, why not, hashtag new profile pic. And we got some retweets on it and got some likes and some comments. So it's really bringing your profile up to date. If you're going to start out with making some content, bring your profile up to date and then look at what content you've got listed in your featured, because there's a section where you can feature content on the front and your the top of your profile, a bit like Facebook where you can have your featured photos. And then it's looking to your bio and what does it say about you? Does it still read like a CV from 1987? If it does, get rid of it and start again. You really want to review, share with them what your expertise is and the value you bring to the person reading it so that they want to actually have a conversation with you. And then you want to be putting out some consistent content. Now, I'm not saying you need to post content every single day, but you need to get into a rhythm of posting content so your audience knows when you're going to post content. And that would be where that would be my starter for 10, really, is updating the profile, getting it on brand, giving people, I suppose, really a very soft call to action in how you can help them, and then getting into flow with some content.
I've definitely seen more and more people updating that profile piece that you've talked about with their purpose. Tell us a little bit more about the role that people's purpose plays around their brand.
So I refer to purpose as your heart brand, and because I work with a lot of individual, you know, solopreneurs and CEOs of companies, and I look at how I've articulated what I do, and I'm a very honest man in the fact that I would find it really difficult to try and be somebody else online. So my purpose comes from within. So my purpose I refer to as your heart brand. And that's what my TED talk was all around. It's really, if you could put your hand in your heart and pull it and hold it in your hand, what would the beat say? What would that actually say? Because that way, you know, you're true, honest, right to your core of who you are and what you want to do. And why shouldn't you share that with the world to make an impact? I find that there's so much negativity online. And although there's a lot of people trying to be very pro and positive, sometimes that the positive gets bashed because it's, oh, here we come, you know, Here are the online police and this, that, and the other. And it's all around positivity and, you know, and beanbags and kumbaya and all that stuff. I say, no, it's not actually. People should be communicating a kinder world. That's our purpose in Big Daddy. That's my purpose as the business owner. It's communicating a kinder world. We want to make kindness louder. That's the sort of our campaigning motto. But kindness doesn't have to be all unicorns and stars. The kindest thing you could have a conversation with around someone is actually giving them some feedback that they may not like, but it's the kindest thing you can do in that moment, because you go from one end of negativity to positivity, and there's like this gray area in between of conversations that need to be had. And I think your purpose is something that is I don't think you identify it. I think it identifies you. I believe it's a real internal piece. It's not something you can manufacture. I think if, as a business owner or as an entrepreneur, you have a purpose to, you know, the lady I was speaking to a moment ago on the live, Amy, her purpose is around impacting the world through a sustainable lifestyle, you know, mend, not trend. It's about actually not throwing things away and destroying our planet. How can we reuse it? So she reuses it in clothes. She reuses it in sculptures. She reuses it to spread happiness. So actually, you know, it's that cliche. If you could get out of bed every day and money never be an object, what would you do every day to just live a meaningful life? And a lot of it will come back down to happiness and kindness.
And I know you do a lot of work with young people as well. That must make such a difference, because so often they feel a bit lost. But if they can find that bit of themselves that gives them that meaning, especially during sort of especially like COVID times, maybe their vision of life has been put on hold or in a slower pace because they can't travel or can't do the things they really want to do. That must really be quite empowering for them.
Yeah, I mean, we've been working in schools now for many, many years. And Nat, who works with me, she comes from an education background. And we brought it together. We said, okay, well, how can we help young people actually attract their future to them now and then allow that to evolve? So we built the Big Ed program, which is around helping young people identify how to storytell their personal brand, which right now in their eyes are their interests, their loves, their passions. So we built a program. We started delivering it as a pilot. And then we were asked, Suffolk University and West Suffolk College bought into the project. So we deliver there now. We're now moving into our third year with those guys. And we've moved it. We've done it from with young kids from sort of 17 up to, I mean, I think our older students are about 60 because they do further ed and higher ed. And they're all understanding what they stand for, what they want to be known for, and then they're bringing that out through their content. So whether they're art students or drama students, and we had 17 drama students last year come through the program, and they were connecting with people. Like one lady, she wanted to connect. She was desperate to be on the West End. Well, within that 12-week program, she'd actually make contact through Instagram with Andrew Lloyd Webber. You know, just by sharing content, having conversations, tagging Andrew Lloyd Webber in the version of the play that she's in. And then just as COVID hit, and it's a really, really sad moment, all of the students had actually reached out to all of the West End performers of the performance they were doing at their end of term. And they all agreed to come up to watch them live at West Suffolk College. And then literally COVID hit and they weren't allowed to do it. It was so sad, but it was so amazing that they'd made those connections and brought their audience to them.
That's a great story.
Again, another story. It all leads through story.
One thing that sort of I think people who are new to using Twitter and LinkedIn often ponder is what do the hashtags and the @ mean, and how can they be used?
Really, really great question, because people say to me, hashtags? What's that for? The hashtag symbol is all about being found in search. So if you go to Twitter on a daily basis, you can put in a hashtag and it will come up with what is trending in geographically around you. But the hashtag is really, you can use it to identify something, to search for something, or to have your thing searched for. So when we ran the Unite on Purpose campaign, we had that trending in 8 minutes online by using the hashtag Unite on Purpose. We'd built the hype and the community around it. And then we had a lot of content scheduled. We had a lot of live content going out. And then off the back of that, it was trending. So then Twitter showed it to many, many more people and it massively increased the reach. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who's going to start a life on Twitter is going to start trending, but it's a good place to go. You could type in a hashtag. So it could be Microsoft. And you could type in that hashtag and you can then see all of the people who are having conversations around Microsoft. Then you can jump in and go and have a conversation with them, share some value, press the retweet button if you think it's going to be valuable to your audience. It's all around being able to find other people's contents. And then the @ symbol is really, that's the thing that you have to use to start people's social media handle, their social media name. And my tip is don't use it at the start of a sentence, because what happens is if you use @, then their name, it only goes to that person. You have to have a few characters at the front, maybe put a full stop or say, hi, @ Carleen, and then it'll be seen by more people.
That's great. And I've certainly personally been playing around with the different @ and hashtags, and it does make a big difference in terms of audience. So that's a really good tip.
No, you're welcome.
You had a big hit on, you were posting about legal.
That's right, yeah. And there was thousands and thousands of people that liked it, and a lot of new audience that I hadn't seen before on my LinkedIn profile. Ooh, so yeah,
you've got to tell us that story now, Zoe.
Well, that's the story. The story is posting a industry specific article and then hashtagging legal sector, and various hashtags that I'd researched had quite a lot of followers in the legal industry, with people looking at tech. And that article, still getting lots of people liking it and views and so on. So, that was really good.
Fantastic. Well done.
It's about 6,000 views in just like 24 hours or something.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's it was epic. Incredible. Yeah.
That is epic.
Yeah. I think it's all down to the training. Sorry, Carl. Yeah. Go on.
I would say that when I look at all of my posts, I definitely think having a good picture is
part of it, really. But what are the other factors that probably increase views of and interactions with a post, Steve?
I think you've hit the nail on the head. You need a good visual because, you know, we as human beings have a 7-second attention span, whereas a goldfish has 8. So we're outnumbered by goldfish already. So we need to be capturing people's attention, and just written text isn't going to do that all the time. Yes, sometimes you might capture people with a headline, depending on your audience. You know, if you have an older audience, they will tend to scroll slower. You know, that's not just me being discriminatory. It's just science. It's life, isn't it? Whereas, you know, my 17-year-old daughter, she scrolls through her social media at a speed of light. I can't keep up with her. So it's having something that can grab people's attention, whether that be a video, whether that be a visual, whether that be a GIF, whether that be actually you pop the link and it's populated with a picture and a link. It's having something to grab people's attention. I think a headline with regards to what the person's going to get from reading your content is very useful. Hence why newspapers for many, many years have been, you know, really relevant, why books aren't just a photograph. They've got a good title. And then you need to look at actually how good is that content? Because some people put content out for the sake of putting content out. I must have a post every single day. Whereas when I'm working with somebody, it's like, actually, you probably don't have to have a post out every single day. You might need 5 on a Tuesday because that's when your audience are there, and that's when we'll drive all of the traffic to wherever we want to send it to. But actually, are your audience online actively at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning? Probably not. They're like everybody else who get the Monday blues. And then on a Friday afternoon, do you remember putting your video out at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon on LinkedIn when actually everyone's downing tools? Winding things up and making sure their emails are signed off and their, you know, contracts are done and this, that, and the other, so they can go into the weekend with a little less stress. You know, I find that my social days are Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They're my key days. And then my Monday and Friday content is a little bit more lighthearted. And then my weekend content is a lot more personal, but it's always got a good visual, whether it be a video, whether it be a picture, whether it be a quote or something that resonates with my audience. So a good visual for me is paramount.
So what trends are you seeing at the moment with marketing generally? Because we work with a lot of SMEs and many of those are starting out with marketing. So not just social media, but just marketing as a whole. What are the key trends that you're seeing?
At the moment, I know. I mean, we've just done tests on this ourselves, and there's a huge decline in Instagram organic. And the easiest way to prop that back up is to use paid for. And people are like, oh, but the platforms are free and this, that, and the other. And why? I can't believe we're lining Mark Zuckerberg's pocket and this, that, and the other. I'm saying, well, actually, you've got the cheapest and best way to target people through social media. Why don't you look at the positive, you know, and use some pay for advertising? So we've just run a advertising campaign for the Unite on Purpose Summit. Very, very low budget. We didn't want to go high. We want to test this. We've had some very, very specifics. And we spent £833 over 16 days. And our individual reach for each person that we reach cost us 1.6 pence. So wow. The content that we were putting in front of people was costing us less than 2p. And that was all video content. Now, the reason we're doing this is because we want to retarget or remarket to the people who have watched the content later on. So we're building brand, building awareness, because we know when it comes to conversion, the conversion will be easier and cheaper with regards to paid for ads if they know who we are. You need to warm your audience up. And so many people right now, from small to medium-sized businesses, even up to big corporates, are just going, we're going for the conversion. Let's go for the conversion. We want them to convert. Well, if they're not doing the brand awareness and they're not doing the traffic, then the conversion is going to be massively inflated. And right now, in the winter months, you know, December through to January, Facebook prices are always higher. We've seen this year in year. So for me, you know, you need some ad spend to support your good quality content. Give it to the platform. The platform will tell you what is performing well. Then put your money behind that. And and when you're looking at ad spend, it's small levels of budget to start off with and then increase by 10%. Don't double your budget if the post is performing well, because it works on an auction basis and it also relies heavily on the audience that the post is being showed to at the time. So I think ad spend is a real one that people need to lean into. They should have been doing it way before now, but they need to support their organic content with ad spend. Behind the scenes has done really, really well on our on all the recent campaigns this year. So we're short form content behind the scenes, but edited well with regards to video. I'm seeing a lot of people who are doing big corporate style videos, and actually you're having to put more ad spend behind those because people think it's an advert. But if you can make some short form video, 30 seconds to 60 seconds, think TV ads, but think behind the scenes, real life, you know, and making it off your mobile phone. There's nothing more authentic than the device in your hand, because it's not authentic. You run around with a big DSLR camera on your shoulder and a team with mics and flashes and this, that, and the other. Actually, you can make really good quality. I mean, the iPhone, the latest one, records in 4K. You don't need anything better than that. You just need some expertise in understanding that. So I would say behind the scenes is a big thing. Sharing your purpose, being, you know, heart brand all the way, because it makes sense. People want to know behind the eyes. They want to, you know, they want to know who the person is, because people connect with people. And then supporting your content with some ad spend, some target ad spend. They would be my key factors. But keeping it real. Keep it real, 100%.
Well, for me, one of the upsides around sort of social media is it's actually dramatically reduced my recruitment costs. And I'm sure as we come out of this pandemic and recession, recruitment will become more front of mind as people look to grow their teams. And so, yeah, social media might even play a role in that, especially if you are putting your purpose as part of that.
Do you know what? It's really interesting you say that, because that is what we teach young people. Well, the reason we're teaching them to build their personal brand online is because actually when they come to a business, they can story tell who they want to work with right now. They can story tell about the industry and what they're doing. So if you're a drama student, an art student, and an art student is a very good example. So a quick story to finish on to help you guys put that into perspective is, and it's how my daughter got her first job. She wanted to be a makeup artist. She wanted to do media makeup. And so we were having a conversation. So I helped her build her Instagram and I helped her build a YouTube channel because she wanted to be a YouTuber. So when she was 15, she started making makeup tutorials. It cost me an absolute arm and a leg with all these makeup palettes that I'm having to buy for her. But it was at least she had a creative outlet and she was making art. It was beautiful. She applied for her college course, which was to do media makeup. But when she went for the interview, she took her Instagram account on her phone and her YouTuber channel on her iPad. And she had a conversation with the tutor and said, I want to show you this. This is my online CV because I don't think I'm going to get the maths grade to be able to come on the course, but I'd really like you to consider me. As it was, the principal of the college was there. He saw what Summer had produced on her in her videos and said to the tutor, if you're happy with this young lady, give her a place now. And in a week, she got the letter to say that she'd been accepted on the course. 8 months later, she missed her maths by one grade. She contacted the college and they said, Summer, don't worry. We've already brought you on the course. We'll help you with your maths over the next 12 months. 12 months later, she passed her maths.
Oh, that's great.
And the beautiful thing is that actually that she, while she was there, she's grown her YouTube channel. She's grown her confidence and self-esteem. She ended up being the makeup artist on a charity calendar for alopecia. You know, she went to these people's ladies' houses and did their makeup for them to be in this alopecia calendar. And then she applied for her first job. It was only at a holiday park in Norfolk. And on the application form, they asked for any links for anything that would be useful. So she put the link to her YouTube channel. She got asked to come in for an interview. She went in for that interview and they said, Summer, you know, relax, calm down, take a seat, because she was a little bit nervous. She said, don't worry, we've already given you the job based on the fact of what you've got on your YouTube channel, because we know you can do it. We just want to make sure that you can get on with the rest of the team.
Oh, wow.
And you know what? It's been a revelation for her with regards to confidence, self-esteem, everything. So when people, you know, I find a lot of people around us, especially when we're working with young people, say that, you know, don't use social media. Social media is bad. We've been asked to go into schools. Actually, my colleagues in the police have even asked me to go in. There was an issue with a local school and say, would you mind talking to the students and tell them how bad social media is? I said, I'll come into the school and tell them how great social media is and how to use it well. I said, but I'm not going to tell them how bad it is. There are negative things in social and digital, but there is a massive positive slant with regards to social and digital and how you can make it work for you in the right way.
And so what are your predictions for going into 2021 as to what are the trends that you see that people should be sort of open to?
I think everybody should be looking at, if they're in business or they work for a business, they need to lean into what does their personal brand look like. They may not want to go on camera, but they need to find out what they're good at. What's their skill? Like I said earlier, are they a good writer? Do they have a voice for radio? You know, what is it they can do that they can elevate their personal brand that will then subsequently be of value to the business brand? Because when you do that, and it's exactly what I did when I was at Radio Norwich, I hit all of my sales targets. I was well ahead with regards to my sales targets. And then I built a business off the back of it. So if people want to go into business, they need to build a brand around their purpose and their passion and what they stand for. If they don't want to build a business but want to impact or even cement their own job right now, then build a personal brand and start to bring value to the business your business owner, who you're working for. Bring them something more. Think out of the box. And the way to do it is your personal brand. And the easiest way is to document the journey rather than create content, because documenting it is storytelling. And how many stories have I told today?
Absolutely.
Have there been any particular inspirational books that you've read over the years that you would put on sort of SME entrepreneurs?
Oh, do you know what? That's a really, really good question. I love books. I love books. I mean, I have a library here. What I'm reading at the moment is Think Like a Monk by Jay Shetty. I'm enjoying that so much because of the way it helps you think differently. I'm all about perspective. So that's a great book. And even to the point where I've got it on audio as well. So I audio and read. I've got to throw something in there with the man, Gary V, because he, I've met Gary, and when you take him offline and meet him on and offline, he's no different. That's what inspired me. And I asked him a question around, you know, I've got this thing with Big Daddy brand and my brand. And he said to me, just don't worry about the name, just do you. And the first book I read of his was a book called Crush It, which was written about 10 years ago. And it's a cracking book. So I would suggest that people, you can consume that in a day. It's a small book. So I think Jay Shetty, Think Like a Monk, and Gary V's Crush It are the go-to ones for business. If you want something a little bit different, then my go-to Bible, if you like, is the Celestine Prophecy. And that's a spiritual book.
Yeah, I read that many years ago, actually. It tells us you just have to have the right questions. And then sort of somehow or other, the right answers present themselves.
So. And do you know what? You couldn't be any more correct than that. I mean, I'm sat here looking at it now and the spine is so creased. And I read it every Christmas. But that's exactly the advice I was given when I was in the police. And my conversion rate for locking people up was through the roof. That's the right question.
I say that with business leaders, though. It is all about asking the right questions. Sometimes we're up the wrong rabbit hole sometimes. It's a great book. It's an interesting story. I think probably everyone who reads it maybe takes something different from it. A good friend of mine who was actually a medical doctor years ago told me to read it, and she said it would answer a lot of questions I had of her. She's a psychiatrist. It's a great read.
Great book. Yeah, I agree.
I had a very similar conversation with the person who recommended it to me, but she was a spiritual medium. You said, you really need to read this right now. And I tried to read it on a plane in a previous life, and I couldn't get into it. And then about 2 years later, I picked it up again and I read it cover to cover. And that was a Christmas time. And I tend to pick it up every Christmas.
That's a good tip, actually. Maybe I'll pick that up this Christmas again and read it again. Very good. I've got one for you then, Steve, as well. I've been recently recommended one by someone at Microsoft, actually, called The Buddha and the Badass. Have you heard of that one?
Oh, no, I haven't. Sounds cool, though.
That's all about re-engineering work culture and unlocking happiness. So that's on my list.
Brilliant. Right, it's going on my list.
Sounds great. Well, Stephen, as always, there couldn't be enough hours in the day to spend with you it's been fantastic.
I have really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Well, Thanks everyone for joining us today, and feel free to look at the website for further details of other people who'll be sharing their insights and inspiration around Marketing Decanted.
That's great, Carleen. And anyone out there listening now who's inspired and working with marketing who would like to take part in the next series, then please do get in contact. We'd love to hear from you.